the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, I don't know really where to start. There's so much to talk about today, and I wanted to try and get through loads of things. I've got even little snippets even before we get into the snippets. Palestinian Islamic Jihad conducted a large-scale military drill in Gaza on Monday, and the coast of Gaza was closed off, and there were missiles being fired into the sea. And then, as soon as it began, it was over. So it's really, really difficult to know exactly what that was all about. But I think they're just trying to respond to some recent IDF military drills, just trying to kind of be a little bit more grown up, I suppose, about some of their activities. But there can be little doubt that they remain a threat from Gaza. They have significant firepower, and of course, we need always to be cautious about what they're up to. The schools are on a full strike day today, as opposed to the strikes that have been happening just for a few hours each day. We don't seem to be any closer to getting towards any resolution of the disagreement that exists between the teachers' union and the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Education. Children are due to go on their summer holiday soon over the next course of the next week or so. And in the meantime, children are really staying at home today, a full day at home, no studies at all, because the high schools have already broken up for the summer holidays, so they're not involved in the strike. The most damaging and the most painful place of the strike is, of course, in the kindergartens, where parents, of course, are obliged to stay home looking after their children who are not going to school at the moment. So that's those pieces of information before we get into the other little snippets.
Very, very interesting. Opinion polls suggest that no grouping will win an outright majority in the Knesset in the next election. Did we even need this? We've got like hundreds of elections in the last few years to prove this.
And yet one wondered whether the period of government that we've had over the last year or so might have changed anything.
Truth is, I did think that, because I would have thought it once you break the chain, then it opens things up very differently.
It does, and I was wondering to myself whether Naftali Bennett and Yair Lapid, given the job that they've done in government over the last year, whether the general public might see them differently, either better or worse, than they did when we voted whenever it was a little bit more than a year ago. And it's interesting to see how the opinion polls are positioning what the election might look like. And the truth of the matter is that there are no significant changes. There are certainly changes around the edges, one seat here, one seat there, one seat up, one seat down, but nothing that we can honestly point to say these are the, you know, these are big winners or big losers as a result of the period of government that we've had over the last year. The one perhaps most significant potential move is that the Meretz party, the very, very left-wing party, may not achieve a minimum in order to get into the Knesset at all. That is certainly one of the opinion polls suggesting that. And even though there were suggestions that the Yamina party, which has been run by Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and Ayelet Shaked, his partner in crime, there were suggestions that party might be wiped out. Well, that doesn't seem to be supported by the most recent opinion polls. In fact, some are suggesting that he might be slightly stronger than was the case last time around, or at least compared to the previous opinion polls that were conducted not so long ago. There seems to be something of a strengthening there. But I think that there is still a lot of water to flow under this bridge. And I think that whatever we see in the opinion polls now is going to be different from what we see in the opinion polls immediately prior to the election, and indeed may well differ significantly from what the election result will ultimately yield, because between now in October, end of October, is a long time in Israeli politics. And there are likely to be quite a number of matters that come to the fore that might change people's opinions between now and then. What we do know is that even though the parties, particularly the opposition parties, the Likud and its general group of hangers-on friends, people who parties that would come into a coalition with the Likud have come out very gung-ho. They're delighted that this government has failed. They think that this is the right thing, that this will give the Likud the opportunity to get back into government. But we understand that behind the scenes, it's not quite so gung-ho. There is a certain concern about going back to elections again. We know that the Likud are fighting every as much as they possibly can with every bone in their bodies in order to try to prevent going to another election. And we do expect the process of dissolving the Knesset to begin already today. But we understand that the opposition are somewhat opposed to the idea of dissolving the Knesset if they could possibly muster a government together, even under the current Knesset. So I think that we're going to find a lot of opposition and a lot of foot dragging on the part of the opposition to try to somehow keep the current Knesset together, but also to allow them the chance to potentially form a majority of 61. Personally, I don't see how that can happen. And I also don't see how we can get a result in any election that we will have in the future, whether it be at the end of October or whenever. And so I think that Yair Lapid, who is due to come in as Israel's interim prime minister during this period of elections, is likely to be also quite a long-serving prime minister. I think he's probably going to be in office for longer than Naftali Bennett was, as ironic that it's as it seems.
Which is
but
so
he
weird,
is likely to be in there for quite some time while we resolve all of these election issues. And as ironic as it seems, the type of election that we have here, which is the type of democratic system that we operate here, which is the purported representation system, is highly democratic in many respects, and yet it just doesn't seem to be working for Israel right now. It's almost too democratic.
If such a thing exists.
Exactly, if such a thing exists. So we're expected to be talking a lot about elections, and I apologize in advance because this is unfortunately going to be what we are subjecting ourselves to. And I don't know that we're going to get away with just one election. I think, you know, we will have an election. We will get towards the end of the year when governments should be formed. And I suspect that we will not be able to get a government. And the best opinion polls suggest that the Likud grouping could put together a coalition of 60 seats, but there is no constellation currently which shows the Likud being able to put 61 seats together in order to form a coalition. So, and that's where we are right now.
It was interesting when I was in Israel, I spoke to a friend of mine, an Israeli whose family had been very, very strong Likud supporters for many, many years. And he, in fact, had now moved to vote for Bennett. It became a very contentious issue within the family, and he felt very let down by Bennett. So I'm wondering, and this was just an example of one, but I was wondering if this was perhaps a trend as well, that people moved away from Likud to Bennett, then thought, this isn't all it's cracked up to be, and might land up back being Likud supporters.
I think the story of the Likud is a fascinating one, because the traditional dyed-in-the-wool Likud supporters, people who come from Jabotinsky and who supported Menachem Begin and that style of politics, don't feel at home in the current Likud party, because the way that former Prime Minister Netanyahu has run the Likud, it's really about a party of one. It's all about him being the leader, him being the person who's setting the agenda of the day, him who's setting the policies, and him who is calling the shots and putting people around him who would be obvious supporters of Netanyahu, rather than really feeling that they are being loyal to the traditional values of the Likud. We just don't see those traditional values anywhere on the agenda of the current day Likud. It's really all about supporting Netanyahu rather than being loyal to the Likud values. And I think that a lot of Likud supporters died in the wool. Old-time Likud supporters are feeling very let down by this. And they feel that they could potentially be supporting other people who do espouse those traditional Likud values, whether it's Gideon Saar or whether it's Naftali Bennett or whether it's anybody else. There are a number of other people and a number of other parties available to those people which do look and feel more like the Likud as it used to be rather than the Likud as it is today. And the issue with Naftali Bennett and people who have supported him, including former Likud supporters, is that he has been positioned in a coalition government which has a lot of left wing about it. And in order to satisfy that left wing and to try to keep his coalition together, he's had to move substantially towards the left in order to keep those people happy and to try to keep the coalition together. And what's happened is that by keeping them happy, he's actually lost the support of his own right wing members of his party. They are the ones who've said, we can't be part of this any longer because that is not loyal to what Yamina was all about. And Yamina, in its name, is right wing. Okay, it says Yamina. Yamin means right, and so Yamina effectively means a right wing party. And they feel that they have that he has let them down by pandering too much towards the left of the coalition that he's been forced to do. So I think that that might well be what your friend was talking about.
And of course, this is, as you say, going to be a conversation that we're going to continue to have. I found this interesting, that Iran has claimed to have captured Mossad-linked agents. Can this be believed, firstly?
I think that this is Iran trying somehow to just capture the high ground again and to just to get away from those embarrassing incidents of the number of people who've been killed on Iranian territory. They're just really trying to get back all the embarrassment. They're trying to get over all the embarrassment that they've had to suffer over the last few weeks and months. And they've talked about three Mossad-linked agents who they apparently say were arrested in April, and they are due to be put on trial. We understand that these so-called Mossad-linked agents are not Israelis as such, but potentially people who Iranians who might have been recruited to gain information, and they may well have been linked to the Mossad in some way, shape or form. But I'm not sure how much we can really believe about this. And of course, the Mossad, the Israeli authorities, are not saying anything at all. They have neither denied or even addressed this particular issue. So this is just Iran espousing what they feel might be to try and regain some of the lost ground that they've lost over the last few weeks and months. And it'll be interesting to see whether anything comes out in the trial that's due to take place in the coming weeks and months about these three detainees. They haven't released details of their nationality. They've simply said that they were involved in disseminating classified information and documents. But apparently the investigation has only just started, even though indictment will be filed soon. We, of course, will be watching this from a distance. But in the past, when Iran has announced that they've captured spies and spy networks intelligence, nothing has really come of it. We've not really heard anything more afterwards. It just seems to be a headline, and then it kind of goes away. And I suspect that this might be the case here, too.
Yeah, it's just Iran, I imagine, being Iran. A large delegation from Italy is in Israel to search for water technologies. Is this an issue for Italy at the moment?
Apparently, this is a major issue for Italy at the moment. They are battling their worst drought in 70 years, according to the information that I've seen coming out of Italy. And there was a delegation of 22 Italian water utility companies and three engineering firms who were hosted in Israel by the Israel Export Institute, which is a government agency which facilitates trade opportunities and partnerships, strategic alliances with members with the international community. And apparently this delegation met in Tel Aviv in Jerusalem with Israel water innovation technology companies. Israel has numerous water technology companies, each of which are doing something slightly different in the water space. Apparently, there are something like 250 companies in Israel developing water technologies and equipment. And according to information that I've seen recently, the nation, Israel exports something like $2.5 billion worth of equipment and of technology and of know-how each year. Over 180 startups in the field of water, wastewater treatment, irrigation, water systems management, desalination technology, etc. And so Israel is really one of the leading countries in terms of all of that technology. And of course, Israel itself is a great example to countries around the world, because Israel is not only recycling something like 90% of the wastewater that runs down the drains in Israel in order to use for agricultural purposes, but of course, Israel is doing a lot of desalination work in order to be able to keep, you know, what is a very, very difficult situation alive, because of course we have very, very little natural water here. So it's no surprise that a country like Italy has sent such a large delegation to try to resolve what is a major issue for them. There were people who once upon a time predicted that water would be the new oil, because of the scarcity of water that was predicted, that was already back 30, 40 years ago. And so it's proving to be, because water is such a scarce commodity these days, and all of the technologies that Israel has are becoming more and more desirable around the world. And we see that as well from these people who've come from Italy, who think that they can resolve some of their major issues, that they have shortage of water, by using Israeli technology and equipment.
And just like that, it is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report.